Our seating scriptures from Matthew 23, 1 through 5. Matthew 23, 1 through 5. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make the phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long."
Thank you, Chris. Jesus would go on to say a lot of things in this chapter, and we're going to cover part of it, although not all of it tonight. And it's not a very pleasant chapter. Matthew chapter 23 ends with Jesus weeping over Jerusalem, saying, "How often I have longed to gather you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." There's a lot of people that just aren't willing. They want what they want, they want to do what they want, and they don't want to do anything else. Such is life. As Jesus discussed the kind of people that they were, it was all on the outside. It was all an outward show of religion. And seven times in this chapter, we're not going to cover all of that, but seven times in this chapter, Jesus said, "You're just play actors. That's all you are. You're just play actors." Now, you're going to say, "I don't really see that." But yet Jesus said, like in verse 23, "You hypocrites." And the basic meaning of the word hypocrite is play actor. These people would fit well in Hollywood. And I don't get the understanding, I don't get the glamour of people wanting to emulate anybody from Hollywood. The morality is so low and the view of God is gone. There just isn't anything there. And so I typically take a look at this, what Jesus says, and I say, there's a lot of people making a lot of movies in this world that would fit well, but this should not fit anywhere in religion. First of all, we want to look at what Jesus had to say about these people. They expound and explain. They can talk for hours about nothing. Not too many months ago, in fact, it's probably been 18 or 20 months ago, Joe and I were down at Winfield, and there was a new preacher who had moved into the area. Not going to say where, but he had moved in. Member of the Church of Christ, just graduated from Oklahoma Christian University, had decided he was going to get his master's degree, had decided after that he was going to get his doctorate degree. And so he had moved into the area, and my preacher friend, Michael Harmon from Augusta, had given a lesson that morning. And so Wayne Robbins said, "Well, Mr. So-and-so, what do you think about that lesson?" And he just tore into Michael Harmon and made Michael feel about that much high. And I stopped him in the midst of it and I said, "That's enough of that. We're not going to have that kind of stuff here." And so this guy believed that going after a master's of divinity education was where it's at. And the reality is it's just a bunch of fluff. That's all it is. It's just a bunch of smoke and just a bunch of fluff. And this guy believed and taught that Peter was the first pope. And he was a member of the Lord's church, and he had graduated from Oklahoma Christian University. And he was going after his master's degree, and he was going to get his doctorate degree, and he was better than everybody else there. Joe was there. You heard it, you saw it. Am I telling the truth, Joe?
Yep.
He shook his head yes. Now, I'm not trying to call Joe on the carpet, but there are people that expound and explain, and when they get done, you have no idea what they said. So Jesus said about these people, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. Now, here's the issue. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke, the fourth chapter, and I want you to notice posture. Posture. In Luke chapter 4, look at the posture that Jesus had when he stood up to read the scripture. Notice the posture. Okay? Beginning at verse 16. But then also notice the posture that Jesus had when he taught. Understand the two. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. Did you get the posture? They, in their day and age, when they read Scripture, they stood to revere it. They stood up. And then when it was time for them to teach, they would sit down. And there was symbolism there. In other words, the Scripture, in standing up, they were saying, this is God's authority. This is what you are to do. But then when they sat down and expounded and explained, then that was the application. And quite often, the two may not seem the same. So he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and rolling in, he found the place where it is written, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then he rolled the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. Did you get the idea that he sat down? And the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. Isn't this Joseph's son? They asked. So here's the idea. When it was time to read God's word, they stood up so that people would recognize the authority of the scripture. And then when the application came, they sat down so that people would realize this is not God speaking, this is the application. And so in Matthew, in chapter 23, when Jesus was saying they sit in Moses' seat, there is the idea that Jesus is giving that they are expounding and explaining the law. But the problem is, it wasn't the law. They were saying what they wanted to say. I was telling the ladies that came for the VBS meeting this afternoon that, of course, we dearly miss many of our people who have gone on. Lois Howeth is one of them. I saw Lois Howeth's son today at Quick Trip. And when I see him there, we're usually there like 45 minutes. But today was short. It was only 15. And he was saying, you know, it's been a few weeks since we've been there. And his wife, Donna, elbowed him and said, well, it's been like 4 or 5. Oh. And he said, there's something I like about the Church of Christ. Whenever we come to Derby, you people use the Bible. And he said, where I've been going with my wife for the last 35 years, all they do is get up and talk about social events. And he said, I love to come, and as far as I'm concerned, you could preach longer than 30 minutes. I said, thank you very much. But he said, I love hearing the Bible, and I don't know the Bible, and I want to learn the Bible. And I said, you're welcome to come back. But much of religion sometimes is just a bunch of fluff. And he said, their preacher, all he did, like the last time they went, all he did was get up and talk about how his mom and dad raised him for 15 minutes, and that was it. No scripture. Isn't that sad? Three things about Matthew chapter 24, and these are quick and to the point. The concept of those people, those that were teachers, they were more after reverence than they were after revelation. They wanted people to revere them instead of wanting people to understand that they were revealing Scripture. And so Jesus would say, read with me in Matthew chapter 23, beginning at verse 5, "Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels of their garments long. I don't have either of those two, because nobody should revere me. They should revere God." Roger? There you go. You had to be here this morning to catch that one. "They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called the teacher, for you have one, the Christ, the teacher. The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." Well, these people exalted themselves. And so Jesus said, in regard to that, you listen to them, but you don't imitate them. Because they don't do what they say that they're going to do. They don't do what they tell you to do. In fact, Jesus said, they bind up, they tie heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. I remember back 25 years ago, there was a movement going on in the Churches of Christ called the Boston Movement. And in the Boston Movement, there were people that were told, "You have to tell me," because you have a prayer partner who was over like seven families. And then you had a guy that was over like seven prayer partners. And then a guy that was over those guys. And ultimately, Kip McKean was the self-proclaimed head of the church. From Boston, Kip McKean. That was his name. And so Arlie Evans and I were studying with a young man. And he was saying, "Well, you know, they taught me that there were things that Christians had to do, but we couldn't find it anywhere in the Bible. And it was all about, how many people have you converted this week? How many people did you talk to about Jesus yesterday? If you didn't talk to 12 people about Jesus yesterday, you haven't fulfilled your quota." And I told this young man that there is much more to Christianity than talking to 12 people. Because there is the horizontal relationship, working things out. If a brother sins against a brother, what do? I mean, there's edification and there is body growth, but there has to be the reality that there are people who are reaching out, but there are people who are reaching in. We have to take care of everybody. So Jesus wanted us to know, don't be like these people who think they're better than everybody else. But I'm glad we don't have that problem. But in verses 13 through 15, they were more concerned with conquest over conversion. That means numbers. Because Jesus said, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces." Boy, that's a slap in the face. In other words, when they spoke, they closed the door. The door isn't open, like in Hebrews chapter 10. It's open. "You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Woe to you." Oh, okay, only through verse 15. So, a lot of fluff going on, a lot of social gospel perhaps going on, but one thing that wasn't going on, the truth. See, truth changes things, just as like I spoke about this morning. In verses 16 through 24, it was wealth over worship. One of the things that James Harris, Lois's son, said to me, is he said, "I get so tired of going where my wife goes, because they have a 15-minute sermon, and then after that, they start asking the church for money. Every week. The offering isn't enough. They need more money. And I said, well, you know, I'm so glad I haven't preached on giving in 25 years. I'm thrilled because I don't think a preacher ought to preach on giving. I think if somebody's going to do it, it ought to be the elders. Because the last thing we want is the appearance of the preacher saying, I need more money. Well, what do you think about that? Roger? I was thinking amen, but you're right, that's the same thing. But aren't you glad that we don't have every Sunday a 10-minute plea for more money? So I said, after he was done, I said, when are you going to visit us again? Because you won't hear that. Because that's not what we're about. But you would be surprised that there are a lot of people that call themselves Christians. That's what they're about. Money. And so Jesus said in verses 16 through 24, woe to you blind guides, you say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But if anybody swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift on it, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And he who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. Christianity is not about money. It's about being saved by Jesus. It's about being a part of His church. So, may we never get to a point where we expound and explain, period. So, number two, they also just sat and watched. Sat and watched. In verses 1 through 5, they believed their position was more important than their performance. Why? Because they sat in Moses' seat. But I want you to turn back, if you would, to the book of Galatians chapter 1. And here's the reality of what they had become. In Galatians chapter 1, as the Apostle Paul writes about how he received the gospel, he received it by direct revelation of Jesus Christ. That's verses 11 and 12. But when you get to verse 13, then he says, here was my motivating factor. This is why I persecuted the church. For you have heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many Jews of my own age and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. So do you know what Paul is admitting? Paul is admitting I was doing things because of the way my fathers taught me, not the way the scriptures said to do things, and that's the way a lot of people and a lot of religions even work to this day. But of those people in Matthew chapter 15, which is previous to Matthew chapter 23, Jesus said, when the Pharisees accused the disciples of Jesus of breaking the traditions of the elders. Verse 2, Matthew 15. Why do your disciples break the traditions of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Am I the only one that doesn't always wash my hands before I eat? Is there anybody else here that doesn't wash their hands before they eat? Thank you. Ryan raised his hand, and so did Cale. Good job, Cale. But now for them, it was a ceremonial wash. It was a plunge in and let the water drip off the elbow so people could see. They've just washed. And Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death." What that means is this, that when your parents get older, you need to take care of your parents. Are you listening, young people? I know that means that my kids are going to pick out the care home that their mother's going into. So I guess Bonnie and I better be nice to them, I suppose. But the fact is that children owe their parents. But the Pharisees and the Sadducees were saying, "Wait a minute, that money that I should give to my parents, I'm donating it to God. For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever you might have received, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God.'" See, that's what they were doing. "I can't help you because I'm giving my money to God." Well, what's the result? "He is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition, you hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.'" I tell you what, these are the kind of people you don't want to spend much time around, because they suck the life out of you. They're takers. They take, 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 take. And I'm talking about the Pharisees, those people who, after the traditions of their elders, were saying, "I'm not going to help you, Mom and Dad." And there's every once in a while I have to get after my mother. This past week, on Friday, when we went to go eat at the Chick-fil-A, and on the way home, Mother was complaining, and I said, "Mother, quit complaining about everything. You don't have to complain about everything." I said, "You know," she gets tired of going in to eat the lunches that they have. And I said, "Well, you know, perhaps if you had a better attitude, maybe the food would taste better." Isn't that true? But if she already believes that, because she was saying, "Well, there's this big tall guy that doesn't know how to cook, and I know he's going to be cooking." Mother! Quit thinking, just go there. Who cares who's cooking? Just eat. And so her refrigerator is all full of all kinds of stuff that I've bought her, so that we have her up to 105.5 pounds today. And she didn't like me telling her to quit complaining. I haven't read her 1 Corinthians 10 yet like I did to my dad. But folks, we can't just sit back and watch and complain. There are people that do. Finally, if we're going to preach, we better practice what we preach. That's all there is to that. In the first chapter of James, James says, starting at verse 19, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen." That's hard. And this morning when I was taking Beth back into the care home, and Beth was talking away from me, and I was standing behind her pushing, I said, "Beth, you got to wait. I can't hear you. You're talking away from me." I guess that means I'm getting older. So I had to stop and walk around in front and listen to her talk then. Didn't I, Beth? That's the way it was. "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves." Don't sit there thinking, "Boy, I'm glad Rosie's hearing this." Of course, Inga would not think that. Or Mike would not be thinking, "Boy, I'm glad Quentin's listening to this. And I know that Shane isn't thinking, boy, I'm glad Judy's listening to this. Nobody's thinking that. We're thinking, he's talking about me. That's what we're supposed to be thinking about. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That's simple. And so then Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and exhort with all patience and long suffering, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they're going to get people around them who will tickle their ears. Those are called grandkids. I don't know about you, but my grandkids, whenever I'm holding them, if I hold Bryden in this arm and Anaya in this arm, I must have big ears or something, or velvety soft ears. They keep playing with my ears. But we don't want people to get around us and to say, oh, you're perfect just the way you are. Oh, you're wonderful and you're glorious, Charlie, just the way you are, or Ann, or Willa, or Pam, or Howard. We've all got changes to make. So may we move past, and may we get to a point where in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, the apostle said, we must obey God rather than men. The question might be asked, why? Because I don't want to be from Hollywood. I don't want to be a play actor. I just want to be a real Christian. Play acting, that's for those people that live out there in whatever zip code that is in California. And I know recently we had a lady visit from California, and I told her that I believe California exists, although I've never been there. But I also believe, I think Kansas has a better state of morals than California. And maybe it's because here in Derby, we love the Bible and we love God and we hear what it says and we realize real Christians do something about their religion. They do something about what God has said. This evening, we just want to be doers of the word. We may not be perfect doers of the word. We just want to be doers of the word. If we can help you do that tonight, if we can pray for you or encourage you in any way, if we could assist you in perhaps studying the Bible, or if we can assist you with benevolence, or if there's someone here tonight that needs to become a Christian and needs to be baptized into Christ, everything's ready. We're waiting for you to become a real Christian, and we're going to help each other, whatever that means, as we stand and sing this song. If you need help, come.